What's up, Dialed fam? Welcome to episode 178 of the Dialed Health Podcast. My name is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and head coach here at dialedhealth.com, which is strength training for cyclists. And as you can hear, I am sick. There's something in my throat. There's something in my lungs. I'm starting to get feverish type symptoms. And there were some early signs of it before going to this mini training camp over the weekend, but mostly just hacking up along a little phlegm. And I think the amount of fatigue that my body incurred during this, plus the limited sleep and coming home to kind of a sick household, pretty much made me the perfect candidate to be the next one in the family with whatever this sickness is. And it's unfortunate, but I did learn a lot from this training camp, and I want to really talk about all those things on today's episode. And we're also going to sit down with Lance Haidt, who is a Dialed Health athlete, professional cyclist, the one and only cyclist I sponsor. And that's who I did this training camp with. I went down to his local territory in San Luis Obispo, California. This is the central coast of California and typically known for some incredible weather, but it was not to be on this trip. In fact, all of California has been getting quite a bit of rain, and there was no exception to that this weekend. But truthfully, I couldn't escape it. No matter where I went, at least in California, and going east means it gets really cold. And I'd rather brave a little bit of water than freezing my baguettes off, as some might know from Christmas vacation. So I want to get into the details of the ride, which I'm going to share with the Strava stats. And I want to talk about why I did this training camp in the first place, and then really what I would have changed to make it a little bit more effective, not put myself in such a hole. And then we're going to talk to Lance actually about the same questions, what he thought we could have done better or worse. And there's some great tips in there. And in fact, especially about when to pull the plug on a training camp when you feel like you got enough fatigue in your system. And also some little tips to make sure that you are successful putting in more hours than you normally would in a short block. Now, before we go into that, I do want to give a very huge thank you to Marcus Hamilton for leaving a 5-star review on Google. I will make sure that the link to do that is in the description. It is huge for dialedhealth.com, and really appreciate you guys taking the time to do that. In fact, if you are not already a member at dialedhealth.com, please go and get started today. That is the best way to support Dialed Health across the board. And most importantly, it's the best way for you to add consistent strength training to your cycling calendar that includes mobility so that you're feeling not only the best on the bike, but also off the bike. So without further ado, let's dive into this episode. So here's the deal, guys. I want to get faster this year, and I've been thinking about how I can do this. There's definitely some low-hanging fruit in the fact that I've never worked with a riding coach, and I'm grateful to talk to so many pros, so many professionals, and have a lot of friends who are incredible riding coaches that I do get a lot of wisdom from, and they send me workouts, they send me all sorts of stuff to challenge me, and I get to actually pick their brain really like I was going to say at my will, but more against their will. I actually, you know, get a lot of quote unquote consulting, but I do think I'm at the point with my riding and my skill level that I could actually benefit from some more structured training. In fact, someone called me out on Strava for not doing enough threshold work and just high intensity work. And I realized, I was like, oh my gosh, they're right. You know, I really could do a lot more of that. I've been doing so much sweet spot and base over the last few years that I've built up an incredible base to where I know I can go ride for 24 hours and not incur some weird injury or something like that. But I feel like I struggle with that top end. So that's something I've actually started working on already. And I don't know how to quantify it besides just saying it feels right. I think a lot of people know when they're doing something with their own training that just feels right. And it doesn't mean that it's easy. In fact, it's almost harder than it should be. And I think that's part of the reason it feels so right. But it's also led to me having a few rides where I do get a little bit more comfortable sitting over threshold, and it's really satisfying. So I want to keep that going. And other than that change, I thought having a mini training camp like this, where I get this little block of extended volume and in a way that's not so aggressive, or so I thought. I mean, to be honest, I didn't think I would struggle so much with two back-to-back 6-hour days. Really, they were 6.5. The conditions were tough. We were riding in the rain. The second day, you know, was just gnarly gravel climb where our tires were sinking in an inch into the actual dirt itself, and we're just battling all the elements. So it wasn't easy days by any means, but I came in thinking, okay, I want to get two 100-mile rides in, do a road, do a gravel, because I've actually never done two hard days back to back. I think that's one thing that's probably pretty surprising for people, you know, because I've done multiple 24-hour plus efforts, but I've never actually done a training block where I have a couple big days in a row. You know, I'll go do a gravel race, like BWR Arizona is coming up in a couple months, and actually just over a month. It's like 130 miles. It's like a really hard day, but I've always had, you know, a shakeout day the day before to open up, and then like an easy spin the day after. I've never just followed it up with another one, you know, or something even close to that. So in my head, it felt like this was an opportunity to build up some fitness that I haven't had before, and to do it in a way that is somewhat time effective, because like most professionals with a family and a lot of ambitions off the bike, you know, I struggle to just add on time throughout the week because there are things that are more important than my own riding in my life, and I'm fully comfortable saying that. So I always hit my frequency, but at the end of the day, that means some days I back it way down to 30 minutes of a spin, or my workout gets cut down that to that extent in the gym. So I was like, okay, if I can schedule out a couple big days back to back, this is something I've never done before. This could be a really good opportunity for me to actually get fitter. And so I want to tell you what the stats were on both of those rides. And we'll start with day one, which is the road ride. We'll go to day two. I'm going to actually tell you what my favorite new item was that I ate on the ride, because I've been working with the feed, trying a ton of new products, and there was one that really stood out, actually two. But I also want to tell you what I think I would have done different, then we'll talk to Lance. So let's go into day one of the DH mini camp. This was a road ride. It was 109.34 miles. Moving time was 6 hours and 5 minutes. We had just over 8,000 feet of climbing. In total, 4,496 kJs. I was actually pretty stoked with the average power. Weighted average power is 220. Average power was 205, I believe. I'm looking for it on here. And the training load was 318. This is as Strava says. So just like a big day. Average speed, 17.5 miles per hour. Historic relative effort, 290. So as you can see, pretty dang big day on the bike. And a lot of that was in the rain. Like literally the whole second half was like we were wet. And so it didn't make it easy. We had some winds, and some of these climbs out in San Luis Obispo are steep. We went up this road called Santa Rosa, which I know a lot of locals do. I want to say Christopher Blevins has the KOM going up it, but there's some legit 20%+ grades, and they're not super long, but there's so many of them back to back, and in between the grades are well over 10%. So it was super difficult. I think Lance said that the steepest pitch on it was like 22%. And like, I mean a real 22%, not when people are like, this is a 30% climb and it's, you know, 18. Like this was real. Cause if you would have asked me, I would have said 25. But he told me 22, it kind of put me in my place. But yeah, it was a really good ride. I'll tell you the one thing on this ride specifically that I did wrong was something you probably wouldn't expect. I had too much sodium. I kind of preloaded sodium like I would on a summer day. And I started with about 750 milligrams in my first bottle, and it was too much. And then at one point during the ride, I had a 1,000 milligram sodium tablet that I added to a drink mix that already had, I think, 150 milligrams of sodium. So, you know, to be real, on a hot summer day, this is kind of what I've been doing, and it's been feeling really good. Like I feel awesome, but it was cold and rainy. So it was a good reminder for me that I really don't need as much sodium on those days, because you're just not sweating to the same extent. And, my body felt a little puffy. You know, another thing I did on this ride that wasn't ideal was I didn't bring enough real foods outside of bars. I mean, bars are super important. If I'm racing and I'm doing a race this distance, I'm not going to bring a handful of dates and some dried mango and stuff like that. But when you're out for just a big day, you're taking like longer stops. It's really nice to get that kind of like natural food in your system. Just a little bit more fiber. It just like sits better in your stomach. Even if it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I think going forward, I have to remember like that type of food is really good at some point during a bigger day like this. But again, I just don't do 100-mile rides that often. I mean, some people will say, oh my gosh, I see you do them all the time. Like I'll do them like once a month. But again, I never do them back to back. And that's where I noticed having the real food was all, it would be all that much more important. So let's go to day two. This is the gravel ride. We started out on some chip and seal for the first 20 miles before getting into what was an extremely difficult climb because of the conditions. Before I get into details, let's talk about overall stats. Day two was planned to be over 100 miles and 10K of climbing. It ended up being 92.6 miles and 9,455 feet of climbing. This was a moving time of 6 hours, 23 minutes. Average speed, 14.5 miles per hour, which I'm very happy with considering the muddy single track that we were riding down and the sinkhole slog fest that we endured going up. Weighted average power, 209. I'm going to be real. The mountain bike pedals read a little bit lower, but I spent a lot of extra time in Lance's draft. Like the first day, we had a very even split on poles. And we rode side by side a lot, but like on the way home, like literally past 60 miles on this day, I was getting pretty fatigued. You know, I told him, and you'll hear it in the conversation next, but I was starting to have a hard time getting my heart rate out of zone two. And that's when I really knew I was fried. Today or this day, there was a total work of 4,473 kJs, training load 321, massive relative effort. Excuse me. Wow. You can tell I'm not getting this sickness. Massive effort 189. So on this day, really, it wasn't that I made as many mistakes nutritionally. I had less sodium and I felt significantly better. I just wasn't as puffy. I felt like my body just felt hydrated, but like it would also flush water a little bit easier. And maybe it's from the day before. I just kind of felt lean. I kind of felt fit. I actually felt really good in the first half of this ride. And then I kind of hit a wall. And when I hit the wall, it wasn't a bonk. Again, I could just tell my body was just out of energy. It's like my legs weren't aching. I didn't have a specific part of my body that was like, dude, you know, you're really hurting me now. And that's actually one thing I was really proud of. Like in general, the aches and pains were at such a minimum that I was really, really stoked about it. You know, that's what makes me so proud of my own product is because I'm like, dude, I'm out of energy, just like actual energy. I'm not bonking. You know, I'm having a ton of carbohydrate, definitely enough. This is not a bonk, but like my body's done. You know, this has been basically the equivalent of a good week's worth of training in 2 days for me. So that's just to, you know, keep in mind. And I think looking back at this, if I were to make this trip more effective for training, this day should have been shorter. I kind of was too ambitious with what I thought my body needed or could do or could handle. But I definitely got in a little bit over my head. And I think that part that really drilled that in was the reality of getting back to my family the next day and the travel that came with it. Because there was like 5 hour drive each way. You know, the night before the first day I drove out at basically dinner time, showed up at like 10 PM. And then after this, I stayed an extra night because I wanted to recover better. But also I realized, man, I don't want to get home at like lunchtime the next day. So I'm going to get up at 5 AM, ended up getting up at 4:30 in the morning, had a recovery score of 1 on the Garmin after getting to bed at 11 the night before because of work stuff. We were posting, we were talking about the day, I'm doing other things. And this is just the reality of like making this happen, you know? So I get up at 4:30 the next day, I get in the car, I'm driving out by 5:15 and I get home early and it was cool because I brought my kids a toy and brought home some donuts, which I had a few on the way home. It was amazing. And I had a really nice drive, but I was wrecked. And my voice was even worse yesterday. I mean, dude, I like could not even talk yesterday. It was crazy. And it wasn't until this morning where I still woke up with a recovery score of 1, by the way, which is crazy, where I realized, oh, I think I actually picked up a little bit more of a sickness. And I think in hindsight, if I would have cut this second day in half with riding, I could have traveled home and I could have gotten a really good night's sleep and not dug myself in such a hole and probably come out of this thing way fitter, opposed to, I mean, hopefully I'm a little fitter once I'm all recovered, but I think I definitely did some short-term damage. So that's kind of like the whole trip. It was amazing. We got incredible photos. The second day was supported with our photographer, which, by the way, is such an underrated value of having a photographer follow you on a ride. With the changing conditions and the rain coming in and out, instead of having to carry all of our stuff, like so many different layers, all this different food, especially because we were pretty deep out there and there weren't like resources to refill, we had water. We had someone carrying our jackets. We didn't have to store stuff in our pockets and pull out gloves that are wet and steamy. You know, it was really, really nice. That like made a huge difference. And I'll tell you, if you guys put a training camp together, besides being realistic about what you can take on and the travel and the sleep around the training, like I mentioned, if you could have someone give you some support, man, that is a game changer. It made it really, really enjoyable. Again, though, for the conditions, like we would have been fine if it wasn't us riding in the rain, just two dudes out there, which is, you know, on the more extreme end of things. So that's pretty much the ride. The products I wanted to tell you about, because I was trying so many new things, were this new gel called Carbs Fuel, and it's a 50 gram carbohydrate gel. And actually on the feed, which has just about everything under the sun, it is the lowest cost per gram gel out there. So lowest cost of grams of carbohydrates per cents is like how they basically rate everything. So it's like how many cents is 1 gram of carbohydrate in each product. And this is the lowest cost one. And dude, I love that thing. It tasted great. It was clean, very neutral. It had some kind of a flavor, but it was like sweet, but not too sweet. It was really impressive. I think it's a glucose fructose 2-to-1 ratio. And maybe I liked it because, you know, cane sugars, it's not the same ratio of glucose to fructose, but that's what cane sugar is. And I love actually just having cane sugar in my bottles too. So that could have been it. I felt great on it. I loved it. I would totally recommend that product. And I'm excited to get you guys a code to shop on the feed under me, so that, you know, we could do everything under the Dialed Health umbrella. But check out Carbs Fuel. Very, very cool product. The other thing I tried that I was really impressed by was this brand called Victus. And they have a new gel that was delicious. It's like this lemon meringue type flavor. And it was 45 grams of carbohydrate. But they also have this combo pack where you get a pre, a during, and a post ride, I guess, support supplements. So the pre has all sorts of stuff to boost like blood flow and reduce inflammation. And it has 100 milligrams of caffeine and kind of everything you'd want before a ride. And I'd have to look into the specifics. I should have probably done a deeper dive on it for you, but it tasted great. During their ride mix was awesome. One thing I liked about it was the ratio of carbohydrate to sodium. And then also the post ride was a protein powder that's like a juice. It's actually dairy-free, which is huge for me. And it has, I think, 21 grams of protein, and it's beef collagen protein. And I think you guys, if you read the studies on collagen protein, you'll probably know it's not the most anabolic technically, but it's protein and it tastes great. And there was some other stuff in there that I didn't look too closely at, but it felt like a nice thing to have post-ride. So I think it's nice to have those options available and to try new things, because there was also a product I tried, I'll be real, and it was like the first thing I tried in a while that I didn't like. And I'm not going to put them on blast here. I don't think that's cool to do. You know, I wouldn't talk down businesses publicly. And I would hope people wouldn't do it to mine, you know, but I will say trying new things is awesome, because I really didn't expect much out of that Carbs Fuel brand, and it was great. And so anyways, that is all my feedback on the training camp. You know, things didn't end up going perfectly on the tail end as far as recovery, obviously. And I apologize for you having to listen to my voice this whole time. But I'm really stoked on the camp. And you know what's funny? The last thing I'm going to say, I promise, is that my favorite part of the weekend, the best road we were on all weekend, was the second half of that gravel ride. The part that I probably would have cut out if it was purely based off of performance. It was called Black Mountain, and it was this like super, super beat up chip and seal road that, I don't know what the vert was on this, a couple thousand feet, and it was kind of split into different sections, had some super steep pitches toward the end. There's sand washed out all over it. It was honestly kind of perfect on a gravel bike, and you get up on this ridge line, and there's views in both directions, and we got a little bit of it on the way back. It was mostly like misty and fogged out, but it just felt like we were in a different world. Like it was just the coolest climb, and a really fun descent as well. So, you know, it was worth it. It's like, I wouldn't regret doing that. Maybe I just would have planned better beforehand or something. Or maybe the conditions would have been different and I wouldn't have had as much of a problem. So anyways, that's it. Mini training camp. Highly recommend putting something together like that for yourself. Now let's talk to Lance about what he would have done differently. And also, how he responded to it compared to me. I'll be honest, Lance, your freshness at the end of day two was almost a little irritating. Not only did you make me climb that last hill within a half mile of your house, and I'm talking like 15% grades plus dirt, then we're hanging out with people, and then you're bouncing around like a bunny rabbit on your bike all the way down, but you just had a general freshness on those last few pulls down the highway. And to me, it was the clearest sign of your level. Like at that point, like I noticed it throughout the weekend, but that's when it really hit me, the difference between myself as an amateur rider and yourself as a legit pro rider. And you also just told me that today you PR'd your 5-rep deadlift. And so that's also insane because you can hear how I sound now. And I'm like, completely fatigued, picked up a little sickness. So I bring it up because it's almost funny to me. And it's so cool to have that type of reality check and to get the exposure into what pros are really doing. So I'm curious, what had you been doing leading up to that camp? And what does your week look like since, including the PR deadlift? And what is it going to look like for the remainder of the week?
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, I'm stoked you came down and we were able to make the camp happen. Cause I mean, leading up to the few hard days we put in, I mean, I'd been probably 3 weeks back into training after taking some time off after cyclocross season. So not a ton. I mean, I'd done a couple big days on the weekends and kind of like 2-ish hours a day during the weeks. Cause right now I'm kind of working a 9-to-5 at SRAM. So, but been putting in like consistent time, and it was good to, put in a couple hard days and have somebody to, crush it in the rain with. It was probably wouldn't have done those 2 days by myself if you weren't here. So I was stoked on that. And then, since then kind of took Sunday pretty light because it was raining once again. And like 2 6-6.5 hour days in the rain, I didn't want to do a third. So took it a little easy. Didn't want to push myself too much, risk getting sick or something like that. And then today I was off the bike today, but had a pretty solid strength session. Did some good PR deadlifting, which was sweet. I'm probably going to feel it a bit tomorrow, but, rest of the week is definitely consistent. Got some endurance tomorrow. And then jumping into some threshold efforts, first of the year, on Wednesday. Looking forward to it.
Dude, that's awesome. So the day after the back-to-back 6-hour rain rides, you basically just spun legs out around town for like, 45 minutes?
Yeah, like 40, like literally I just rode my mountain bike around on the roads around town, like just cruising around, checking stuff out, it was actually, it was pretty sweet because after the storm, like the lighting was just cool and I needed to get out and do something. So yeah, rode around a little bit and it was killer. Sometimes like the simplest little active recovery, whatever you want to call it, little workouts like that. It's not even a workout, just a little ride. But they, for me especially, like they seem to do a lot in terms of like turning that recovery around quickly after big days.
That actually motivates me to go that route after a big block like that, or even a big ride the next day, because I did a 30-minute spin on the turbo the day mm-hmm. after, which really felt good. I mean, I felt way better after it, but I felt like my whole body wanted to move more. You know, I think like getting on the mountain bike, popping a couple wheelies, getting on and off the bike trail, maybe on and off a quick little single track through a park, just something to be using my whole body. I almost was craving that. And I didn't do it purely out of the convenience of the turbo, but I think that's something I'll prioritize in the future. And after hearing you say that, I'm like, okay, that probably would have been a good call.
For sure. Yeah, no, I mean, it's especially after like big stage races or big gravel days, like it's so easy to be like, okay, I want to take a full day off the bike, like full rest day. And yeah, I mean, sometimes that's the good thing to do. But I think if you're doing like a really hard training session, race or something like that, and then are wanting to jump back into training fairly quickly afterwards, I think, even if it's just a 30 or 45 minute active recovery session, could be a ride, could be a walk, could be whatever. The day afterwards is, I think it's pretty key. Just get like blood flow going again. You don't get that same level of like crazy swelling that you do if you just like, I don't know if you've ever had like a big race and then flown on an airplane the next day. It's like your legs and feet are just swollen like crazy. So yeah, just getting everything flowing. And I don't know. I think it helps for sure.
Yeah, the swelling is legit. And, you know, we did a good job at the quote unquote mini camp at your house, taking care of our bodies with all of the recovery modalities. We had, dude, Theraguns, we had Normatec boots, we had stretching and bands, and it was a proper dialed health mini camp.
100%.
And we ate a lot of calories every night after the ride. So with the exception of that, looking back, what would you have done to make this 2 days even more effective? And I'd almost like to start at the most realistic option and then maybe ramp it up to some of the more pro things you've experienced at training camps in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, like what we were able to do and put together was, I mean, it was great. The fact that we had Taylor, like, not only getting photos, but kind of being our follow car for day two was huge, especially when it was pouring rain and we could swap clothing out when we got absolutely soaked. That was huge, just so you can keep working throughout the day and you're not just freezing your butt off. So yeah, I mean, we could have had something similar to that on day one, which would have been nice, especially after that descent we did into Cambria. It was pretty dang cold. I think in terms of like things that could have helped out a little bit is after both days, our bikes were pretty toast, just being in the rain and grit and everything like that. And yeah, I mean, at a pro camp, we would have had a mechanic to basically, you would roll up and give them your bike and they would clean it and lube it and do everything needed to make your bike ready to roll the next day. Where yeah, we wouldn't have to spend an hour each day doing that in the dark and rain, which yeah, I mean, it adds up. Yeah, other than that, I mean, I think we ate super well, a lot of calories, but definitely something where if you're at a pro camp, you might have dietitians or a cook or chef basically providing food for you and giving you exactly what you needed immediately after your workout and a proper dinner and proper breakfast, which gotta say, my oatmeal was pretty dang good, but
can you tell everybody what was in that oatmeal? Because that took me by surprise. It was so good. And then the next morning I told you I wanted that exact bowl of oatmeal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a staple around these parts. Definitely the key is doing oatmeal on the stovetop, not in the microwave, just way better consistency. And then, yeah, what did we do? I think we had like good brown sugar, some banana chips, some blueberries, some dried apricots, a little bit of unsweetened vanilla almond milk, and a little bit of peanut butter.
Yours was actually different than mine.
Yeah, I did so mine no, different. You didn't seem to want the peanut butter, but I always, dude. Peanut butter is my favorite.
So I wanted the pecans. And
oh yes, you did pecans.
Because
yes,
they sounded so good with the banana chips, which I've never had banana chips in oatmeal, but I absolutely will be doing that in the future. So I did the oats, which I will agree, cooking them on the stove the way that you did, they just were the perfect consistency. And also, even just for sharing, like if I think for anyone who has a couple, you know, friends together for a team camp, just do a big old pot of oatmeal that people can scoop out. But I did a healthy portion of that brown sugar, cinnamon, sea salt, and then I did the banana chips and pecans and just stirred that all up. Dude, unbelievable. And we had that with a few whole eggs each, and that was kind of the start to each day. And I will say, I think the second day nutrition was really, really good because of the coffee shop that sort of gave us some real food before we went to the actual meal and feasted properly. I think if we had something like that the day before, I might have felt a little bit better because I got pretty hungry before that dinner we had. So totally. One thing I would even add in there is like having a little bit more real food the first day could be ideal, or having some type of real food prepped to eat immediately after your ride and just kind of curb your appetite so you don't feel like a psycho. And when we went to that coffee shop, it totally did it because we had those little baguette sandwiches with brie and prosciutto and the jam. And then we had a cookie and a coffee, and that was perfect because again, you had me climbing more after that when I thought we were done. And we still had like essentially, I want to say realistically 2 hours until we ate dinner, and we had the pizza and the wings and the ice cream and everything like that. And that was so incredible. I'm kind of regretting not taking those leftovers now, but, anyways, I think that would be a good tip that we could have brought to day one. And yeah, the conditions were just kind of unlucky. Like a mechanic would have been huge in those conditions, but if it was dry, we may not have felt the need for it.
No, totally. Totally. Yeah, I think the conditions we had, I mean, granted, they weren't awful. It could have been much worse. But yeah, just enough where when you're soaking wet for six and a half hours straight and come home and your bike is just totally destroyed, it's spending another hour out in the cold and rain and dark is wouldn't call it the best recovery. But yeah, we made do. And yeah, to go back on what you were saying about getting in like real food pretty quickly after a long ride, like I don't know, I mean there's been talk about like that glycogen window of getting in like solid calories within 30 minutes to an hour after a hard workout, and I think that's definitely super important. And one of the good things I've found is I've gotten home from massive rides like that, and immediately I go for like, I want the chips, I want the candy, I want like all the super simple things that taste really good. Which, yeah, I mean, calories in are good, but those aren't necessarily the most nutritious, recovery enhancing calories you can get, or recovery assisting. So yeah, if you have something that's like pretty complete that you can prep before you head out on the ride, so right when you get home, you have like something that you can throw down. I think that's pretty huge. So you aren't reaching for the quick, easy food.
Yeah. Do you have any other advice for somebody doing two back-to-back days that doesn't normally put days like that together, just to help them get through it?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I think one of the big things is, staying on top of your fueling during your rides, especially on that first day. I mean, basically when you're doing stuff back to back, if you're putting yourself more in a calorie deficit that first day, that's harder for you to recover from. You're going to have less like stores and the ability to go hard on day two. So yeah, staying up on your calories, staying up on your hydration throughout the workouts. Super, super important. Definitely like in conditions like we were in, staying dry, staying warm the best you can, your body isn't having to work so hard to keep you warm and trying not to get sick. So that's pretty huge. Getting in like a good protein and carb, intake right after you finish your workout, super important as well. And yeah, I think definitely if you are doing a big training block for like fitness gains rather than I'm doing a massive block to try and lose weight, often they go hand in hand, but a big training block where you're looking to get the most out of like, I want to improve my fitness, don't be afraid of eating. Like the more calories you're putting in, obviously you don't want to be like eating straight 6,000 calories of Pop-Tarts and cake, but like putting in solid calories is super important. And I mean, you look at guys doing grand tours and really big back-to-back days, like the amount of food they're putting in is insane.
Yeah, I heard from Inigo Samalon's keynote that I saw out of the Endurance Exchange. He was saying that world tour riders now will start and end a grand tour at the same weight because they're so on top of nutrition now.
Totally.
And totally. You know, one thing you mentioned to me on the ride, kind of like the last point before I want to wrap it up, is when to pull the plug. And it's funny because my favorite part of the whole weekend, the out and back on Black Mountain that we rode, was the second half. So it's like, I wouldn't have wanted to miss that. But in hindsight, I know I should have pulled the plug earlier because I told you at one point we're on this long stretch of road and I was like, oh, you know what happened? You actually pulled away from me on it was a short climb, probably like 300 foot vert. And you just kind of kept, I think you probably nudged into like sweet spot zone and I was kind of like stuck in tempo. And after that, I told you, I was like, man, I'm noticing it's hard for me to get my heart rate out of zone two. And then you said, okay, that's exactly when you should pull the plug. But we had like 40 miles left at least.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a really cool point that you made because I think that's something someone should keep in mind is like, okay, if you get to the point where you're truly having a hard time getting out of your heart rate out of zone two, you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, obviously there's some days where it's like, you're putting in a massive effort. It's a huge day. And there's some point where you're going to, the lights go out a little bit and obviously you have to get home. But I think at least what I've found and, some old school, hard men out there might give me crap, but like, if you are doing really big back-to-back days and you get to a point where you're like, man, I am freaking bonking. I have nothing left. I can barely like turn the pedals over. I can't get my heart rate up. That is a good sign that you are like, you're depleting what you currently have for energy stores. And, you at that point, it's often smart to be like, okay, no, I was like wanting to do 6 hours. I'm 4 hours in. Maybe you don't do two more hours. You just like take the most direct route home. Just because once you get to that point, the more you kind of try to push yourself, you're really only digging yourself deeper into a hole that's going to take you more time to recover from. Sometimes it's like you got to do what you got to do. You got to put in really hard days and suffer through it. But if you're looking to get back to training quickly after a big block like that, you don't want to dig yourself so deep that then you get sick, then you aren't able to train for 4 or 5 days, where if you would have eased off just a little bit and didn't do so much, you maybe would have had one recovery day and then you could get back into doing training. And I think that's something that where everyone is a little different and you kind of just have to learn how you operate. For me, I've always found like doing big blocks, getting to the point of like feeling like, man, I am in the box right now, and then giving myself good recovery after that is the best way through it. Not continuing to punish myself until I have to take a big chunk of time off.
Yeah, it's a great point. And it's funny to see how both of us responded, because, you know, it's just so much more clear at the level you're at, because you did recover the way that you'd want to, and you're already going into harder work. Whereas, and I still had, I was hacking up a lung, you know, like on the ride, I knew I had a little something going on in my chest, but I came out of it actually a little bit too dug into the hole. But it's funny because I know I can push myself. I want to, and I don't regret doing the second half of that ride, because I did learn that, you know, based on the volume I've been doing, I was a little bit too ambitious with what I wanted to get out of these 2 days. Mm-hmm. But it was perfect. It almost seems like it was perfect for you. You know what I mean? So I think it was a good lesson, like in the future, of being like, okay, I want to get the most out of the training, but it doesn't mean I can just go destroy myself. I know I'm capable to do it. And this is where the hard man thing comes through. If you feel like you need to prove to yourself that you're capable to push through, you probably do, just so you have that confidence. Okay. And I feel confident after doing these 24-hour rides that, okay, I will keep going beyond the point that my body wants to. But what's going to be the smart point? And now, experiencing it, I could probably plan that point a little bit better going forward. So, anyways, yeah, man, I appreciate it. That was a blast. Thanks for hosting. And it was just so sick to watch you ride all weekend. So thanks again, man. Hopefully we can, you know, make this an annual thing. Maybe biannual. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think whenever we can make it happen, we should. But no, I appreciate you coming down. That was fun. And yeah, like I said, with a rain like that, it was good to have company. Would have been some brutal days out on my lonesome. So appreciate you coming down, and good to reflect on it too.
Awesome, man. And I want to make sure everyone knows where to stay connected with you going into the season. Is Instagram the best place?
Yeah, at the moment, for sure. I actually need to start making some announcements here pretty soon.
That's right.
Yeah. Exciting stuff on the way. Instagram is where it's at. It's going to be a cool season.
Right on. Thanks again, bro.
Right on. Catch you later.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dialed Health Podcast. Again, I apologize for having to hear me talk like this. It's ridiculous, and I'm just trying not to cough right now, actually. But I really, really had a good time this weekend. And if you guys want to see those Strava rides, I have them linked in the description below. Please go follow both myself and Lance on Strava. Make sure you follow Lance on Instagram to check out his upcoming season and the program he's put together for himself. Really, really cool coming into 2024. Very, very grateful to be a part of it. And also go and make sure you rate this show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on. It really does make a difference. You could also share this with a friend directly. Anyone that you want to go do a mini camp with, send this over to them. Spread the Dialed Health love. I really appreciate it. And until Thursday, start moving forward.